Good morning. Today is Thursday, December the 1st, 2016. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners Administration Workshop. And first on the agenda, we have legal counsel. And first item of discussion, ALCA letter of intent for lease of office space. So who is addressed? Are you addressing me?
The county has received a letter of intent from AllCare requesting that we enter into it. It is to rent part of a building to be built by AllCare. And this is just the first letter of intent so that they can go forward with making the arrangements to build the building and have the county public health department lease some of the space. And this letter of intent, it allows it allows the rental agreement, and it does allow the county to it requires the county to pay a deposit of $5,000 within 30 days of signing. If the county determines not to go forward with the lease arrangement, the county could back out. If no money has been spent towards the design, the county will receive whatever is remaining if it does spend some money towards the design. And if the county proceeds to go forward to the execution of the lease agreement, then the deposit will be applied to the deposits due upon the execution of the lease.
And is there a time frame on that? Do they have any anticipated time?
My understanding is that they would like to have this as soon as possible, but there's no specific time limit in here.
Yeah, it's my understanding that these are necessary in regards to the financing. Okay. All right. Anything you wish to add?
No, just speaking to the point of they do need this letter of intent in order for them to proceed. We are, according to the individual that I've been negotiating with, we are the last party to sign a letter of intent. There's additional financing that is required for them to have these letters of intent in order for them to proceed forward. And this is a non-binding contract. It is not a lease. We would continue moving forward with negotiating for a lease from this point forward.
Okay. Questions?
Is the 2.5%, is that a common per year increase on a rent?
It is. I've heard between 2 and 2.5%. Each contract's different, but it's not uncommon that there be a 2.5 increase per year.
That's pretty standard for commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't know.
Anything else?
No, it's nice to see it in written form.
I know we had discussed this some time ago, and you've been negotiating with them because there were some things in there that we want to change, which obviously have been changed.
Yeah. Or do we have an executive session about this red line version that we originally saw months ago, and it's been refined?
Yep. Yes. The original LOI was dated May 23rd, and in July I was tasked to move forward. Which I spoke directly with AllCare, and then they put me in contact with their point person. Mm-hmm. And we've successfully brought the per square foot from $2 a square foot of the rented or the space down to $1.49 a square foot. And we further identified what's referred to as additional rents, which is common area maintenance repair on the facility, for which we would have a pro rata share, which is estimated to be 20 to 25 cents per square foot.
So all those are estimations at this point. All we're actually giving is a letter of intent to further those negotiations.
Exactly right.
I think that's pretty important to understand that this board isn't making any obligation for that next decision. So.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, shall we move this forward?
Sure, please.
Put this one on the admin. Okay, the next item, 1B, Intergovernmental Agreement Creating the Oregon Association of County Engineers and Surveyors. A very long title for something that that was interesting. Do we have someone from... Oh, yes, we do. Rob Randall. Thank you. Sorry, I was looking. You're usually in the back.
Yeah. It's the closest I've ever come to hiding in 30 years now.
Okay.
Start off when I start. All right. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago. So OASIS is effectively a group of the county public works directors, engineers, and the surveyors on the other side. And what happens is when the counties each pay their AOC dues each year, a portion of that goes into the AOC road program, which is these two groups. So OASIS as a name already exists, but it also takes in a bit of funds, which are then used for doing skills demonstrations, training for our group of folks, that kind of a thing. So within the last year, the thought came to the OASIS informal group that, you know, if there is a management of funds here that AOC is doing, it needs to be a separate entity if something was to ever happen to AOC formally. So those funds could either be, you know, distributed back out. It just keeps them arm's length. So it's an accounting slash legal description, technicality as much as anything. The group already exists in every way, shape, and form. It's more a matter of creating this separate entity to formally recognize and keep those funds arm's length.
I think this is stemming from some of the laws that were changed on the federal level a couple of years ago, because a lot of nonprofits that had other organizations they were working with, they've had to split the boards. They've had to separate the boards. They can't have the same governing bodies. They can't have the same bank accounts. So I think that's probably where it originated, you know?
I suspect that was it was kind of a joint decision by the OASIS group and the legal counsel for AOC. And it just didn't make sense that obviously none of the individual members can incur a debt on behalf of that group.
Right.
It's all voted through a formal process and everything else, but it just, yeah, it cleans up a hanging chad that's there.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
My biggest concern is that there could be a policy difference between this OASIS group and the commissioners at large on the Transportation Committee. I don't really foresee that. I mean, I think I see more positives than negatives, but the whole point of these things at the onset is to look for the things that can happen in the future that you didn't anticipate that are not a positive thing. Because these are really AOC contributions. Counties are paying out AOC, and maybe there's an additional line item like there is forest trust lands or anything else when you sign up for next year's dues. Is that what they're anticipating?
I had Arthur pull the bill that doesn't specifically line out the road program.
No, there is no.
There's a couple of items on it that does not specifically mention that, but I'd also remind you that
next year there probably is. If
could be,
group.
Yeah. But also anything that OASIS puts out is just an advisory position. It has no statutory ability to say we will do blank. It's just a matter of,
we have staff and
and all the folks on there typically are, not only talking to their boards, but their local reps to kind of see what's your interest, in, you know, whatever the bill may be. Do you want to push transit harder? Do you want to...
There's a lot of positives. So you guys worked out a formula for a redistribution of some gas tax dollars to counties that didn't get hardly anything. When you look at Wheeler County or Sherman County that are so small, they get, you know, a couple $100 or a couple $1,000, $100,000, which doesn't even, you know, can't hardly do anything with that kind of money when you're talking about buying infrastructure or improving infrastructure, buying capital. And so... That worked out really, really well, and the commissioners could not have done that.
Right.
You know, it really takes the public works directors to come together in a way to make it happen. So,
it really is.
I don't see a downside of this in counties. I really haven't followed this.
I never have time as well.
Yeah, it's going, and I think it's something we should probably participate in.
For the cost, it is the single best resource that we are a part of.
The timing of this is really key, being that the legislature is going to be aggressively pursuing a transportation bill next year.
Late last night, the question was kind of posed to our whole list of groups: is, hey, what do individual counties do with your tree cutting protocol, with your snow removal protocol? And everybody's slightly different. It's a good check-in to say, hey, wow, that's what Harnett County's doing on that.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that. So
right.
It is a phenomenal resource for what we put in.
Great. Okay. Good. All right, shall we move this one too?
I like it too. It's a little automatically resolved. There's 10 or less counties involved in this thing.
So. And they're already at 10.
Yeah.
So it's more than that.
Okay with moving this one?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And we will switch to this one in the previous
agenda. I hate to have you come over. I think I'm
not 100% sure I'm going to be there on
Wednesday.
Okay.
I will do it. That way you don't have to.
Do it. I got a watch, so if it doesn't work, let me know.
Okay. I think I can do it.
I will assume I'm okay.
Nice. The All Care letter.
The All Care letter, I think, could you be there for
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to department business, I've had a request because Mr. Guyron has to leave early and asked to be moved up on the agenda from Community Corrections E to up to the beginning. So is the board okay with that?
Yeah, and I do too. I get on the road.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about possibles of changes. Would you have any preference if you would like to see anything moved up?
Thank you for asking. I don't know if it would be possible to postpone the community corrections. You've got a lot of community corrections things, but maybe the update to a later time.
Would that work for you?
Yeah, that's totally
fine. The biggest deal is the car that came through your office. And,
yeah.
I mean,
I can breeze through the update as well if you want me to do that.
Too. Or high, yeah, cover
the high. I would, yeah. If you don't mind, I wouldn't mind, but if it's too close.
I'll probably breeze through his office.
Mr. Garner, please have a seat. We can have all kinds of discussions.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for having me.
And I won't call out each agenda item. You just go right ahead and go right through them. Okay, we have the agreement between Criminal Justice Commission, the assessment program, and then the interagency full collection service agreement between the Oregon Department of Revenue and Josephine County, and the contract for personal service between Josephine County and the Northwest Professional Consortium. So those are the three items.
Okay, thank you. Item 1 and 3 are related, and I'll go over those first. We received a grant opportunity from the Criminal Justice Commission to pursue the 3% out of the Justice Reinvestment Funds to continue random control studies on justice reinvestment. There are three total counties, two other counties, including us, that are going to be incorporated in the study. It's for downward departures. So we're calling it the Defendant Assessment Report. And what we're doing is we're in partnership.
For the communication, what is downward departure so we all are on the same page?
Yeah, so a downward departure is if somebody gets in trouble for something that could send them to prison. And we end up as a system offering them probation in lieu of going to prison. We do an assessment at Community Corrections to advise the district attorney on whether or not to offer that probation service or send them to prison and utilize the prison.
The ultimate downward departure is you're going to prison.
The alternative is prison.
Yes,
that's correct. Yeah. Yeah, so we've offered... I don't have the exact number on the amount of cases we've offered since we started this, but it's been significant, and it's reduced the amount of prison usage that we have, which is in line with the initiatives for justice reinvestment. So that's what we're going to study. Basically, if you boil this down, it is, are the programs that we're doing for downward departure working? In other words, are people getting revoked from the downward departure and getting sent to prison anyway, or is the services we're offering in the community working and keeping them out of prison? So that's the study that we're initiating. It's for $110,000. Josephine County will receive $10,000 of that. We're outsourcing the research project to another entity that's a doctorate level researcher, and her name's Dr. Carey, and she's going to be receiving roughly $100,000 of this grant. So that's.
I think it would be cool to get some sort of grad student somewhere, but that's not how things sometimes work. Pretty important study. I think the whole justice reinvestment and the state looking at alternatives to incarceration and figuring out the best ways for people to not have to or not go back recidivate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, and this is not just an Oregon issue either. I mean, this is a nationwide movement to try to change this whole process.
Yeah, justice reinvestment is a national movement. Specifically in Oregon, it's working. We're showing some significant stats through the Criminal Justice Commission that it is working, and it's through House Bill 3194 the CJC just did a presentation this week, and I think I forwarded the slides on that. And there's a lot of promise across the state with this initiative. So hopefully this research project will confirm what we thought was going to happen with the downward departures and the reduction in the prison usage for property crimes and drug crimes and driving crimes. So that's agenda items 1 and 3.
Okay. And 2.
And agenda item 2 is a continuation of an agreement that we had in place for the past 15 years with the Department of Revenue. It generates approximately $50,000 per fiscal year. And what happens is people get jammed up with supervision fees that they weren't able to pay. Sometimes it's polygraph fees, sometimes it's treatment fees. And so once they expire, they no longer have any more contact with our POs or any of the personnel for that matter to remind them of their bills. So we end up partnering with the Department of Revenue, asking them to collect, and then we have approximated about $50,000 per fiscal year to be collected, and we're just asking to continue on with that partnership and agreement.
Okay.
Good deal for me.
And how long has this been in place?
Approximately 15 years.
15 years?
I'm told, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Are you available next week?
I am available next week, unless you want me to just breeze through this. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am available next week.
Okay.
Take these agenda items, too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you. I just want to make sure you were, in case we did forgot at the end.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Would you go on admin or consent?
2 would be an extension of a current agreement, so it could go on consent.
Okay.
The other 2, a new agreement for a new study. And contract for personal services doesn't have to go on admin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have an updated quarterly report. There's just a couple of different division notes that I hear reflecting updated numbers. There was an error on the secure treatment side of it. I need to flop this quarter to last quarter, so we actually made an improvement on the numbers for the secure treatment beds. And then the other change that I made on this report that I just handed out, that's different than the email report that I sent you, is that on the custody alternative programs, I updated the accumulative daily worker count to 983, and that hadn't been updated for about a week or so. So we had some more folks come on. In field services, I'll bring your attention to that page. Field services, non-colored, if you will. Our total population snapshot, and this is important for this particular fiscal year because the snapshot population for October 1st, November 1st, and December 1st, it is for our funding. And that's locally here through the grant and aid at a Department of Corrections. Our funding streams obviously are from the state. And this is encouraging that our total population hasn't decreased too significant. And that is hopefully we're going to remain funded by the state for those particular snapshots and the capitated rate. We had several different contacts, and you can see those there. The significant division notes, we hired a PO. He's currently in the field training officer program. Right now he's doing very well. I just got a brief on his progress this week, and he's a very good addition. We swore him in last week through Judge Baker, and we're excited to have him on. We've initiated a request through the drug court SAMHSA grant process to add a 0.25 FTE, which is a PO that will help our funding stream as well. The SAMHSA
is what?
It's a federal grant that we're partnering with the drug court.
I mean, what does it stand for, SAMHSA?
I'm not really sure what it stands for, but I can get
you. No, but it has to do with more of a mental health aspect of things.
Yeah, it is definitely geared towards the mental health piece of the drug court. So we end up supervising all the folks that are on drug court, and so we're seeking just a little bit of the funding for the PO position. And I'll talk a little bit more about the SAMHSA grant in the treatment division as well. We place an emphasis on completing assessments and case planning treatment for the Big Four. For those of you that don't know, the Big Four are criminal behavior, antisocial patterns, companions, and family and marital issues. That's a big five. Thank you. Substance abuse and mental health services addiction. That's what SAMHSA stands for. Thank you, Lily. We had a site review that we haven't got the results back yet, but we're prepared to implement any of the recommended changes from the Department of Corrections. The parole board is changing their position. This is significant when it comes to marijuana. The parole board is changing their position. It used to back us on not allowing medical marijuana. They are now saying that the spirit of medical marijuana is to use that as a prescription. Well, we have in the past said it's not a prescription because legally you can't prescribe marijuana because it's a Schedule I. The Department of Justice has reviewed that and has advised the Oregon Parole Board to take a different position on that particular issue. So we're in the process of sifting through some of those things, and it will change our supervision strategy because it affects general condition number 10, which is obey all laws, local, state, federal laws, and also with general condition number 2, which is not use or possess controlled substances, and it's still, you know, considered a controlled substance in the federal law. But under general condition 4, which is participate in our treatment programs, and typically the treatment programs for alcohol and drug uses abstinence from alcohol, which is also legal, and all other drugs or mind-altering substances. So general condition 4 may be the strategy that we end up imposing for keeping people clean and sober in treatment. Let's see. The Department of Corrections just released a new sanctioning grid that includes, and I'm excited about this, incentives. So we want to incentivize good behavior, and it breaks down a lot of what we intuitively think as adults, that we want to reward people for good behavior. And so that's an encouraging sanctioning / incentives grid that is going to be coming down from the Department of Corrections. We're planning on implementing that in 2017. Custody alternative programs, pretty much status quo for the work crew as well as home detention. And if you flip to the treatment division, our total population for outpatient has been pretty much flatlined, and that's encouraging. We also have seen an uptick in our secure treatment in the jail, and as I reported last time in our quarterly report, we've looked at some strategies on increasing those numbers, and those things seem to have been fruitful. Our ADIS is pretty much flatlined from as compared to last quarter as well. We are looking through that same SAMHSA grant to increase an FTE position for cognitive behavioral therapy, and that is within that same grant that I touched on earlier in the field services division. We hosted a legislative tour on November 9th. Representative Wilson and Representative Stark were in attendance. We toured the secure treatment facility. We also toured the safe house and for domestic violence victims. We had a leadership retreat recently, which was very encouraging, and if I boil that down, the vision statement that we now have for community corrections is, and I quote, "Together, we are changing lives with what works." Lots of encouraging things happened at that retreat, and I'm excited to push forward from some of the things that we develop there. The case management information system stats update reflect that our recidivism for this particular cohort, and it's a six-month cohort for post-prison as well as probation, we are below, finally, the recidivism rate for medium and high-risk offenders. So what we're seeing, at least for this particular cohort, is that our efforts are working for recidivism on those highest-risk folks in our community. So that's the core of the report that I have. If you have any questions, I'm
certainly... Good job.
Thank you. Julie, about the medical marijuana. I think that's been an issue that's been coming out there since Measure 91 and some other things have just clouded the situation of your job and a lot of people's jobs. And so it's going to be something we're going to have to probably see legislative clarity on very soon. Talking about that at the federal level, but I mean, even the state's not done with this. It's complicated for people in your position, that's for sure, or even the clients, you know.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do.
Yeah, one thing that got brought up just recently is that, you know, we have sworn officers to uphold the law, and not just some laws, but all laws.
Right.
And so it's difficult, just on an ethical standpoint, to ask them to, you know, kind of turn a blind eye to things that they've sworn to uphold. So it is difficult. It is kind of murky at this time. But, yeah, some clarification would be nice. And we got a start of that from the Department of Justice and the Board of Parole for at least the medical marijuana piece on post-prison folks. It'll definitely impact the way we supervise.
This is one of the unintended consequences that weren't very thought through in the front end, and now they are coming to life, and now we do.
Yeah, at least in our world.
Yeah.
Corrections.
You said that on here the Board of Parole is taking a new position. Is the Board of Parole going to be asking for a legislative change to accommodate that so that you will have some clarity as to how to go forward?
They hadn't mentioned that, and I don't know if that is a legislative concept at this time.
Because I would hate to think that the Board of Parole makes a recommendation and all the departments start implementing this recommendation from the Board of Parole, and then something happened in some department because someone allowed an individual to have a medical marijuana card, and then everybody gets busted.
Or they chose not to.
Right.
And they prosecuted somebody.
Either way, works either way. So I don't know, you know, if you talk to other directors that were around the state, if maybe that's something you can go to the parole board and say, hey, you know, we understand and we want to implement, but would you make a recommendation to the legislature to actually implement legislation for us to have something to point to that, yes, the legislation authorizes us to do this.
Yeah.
Because it is counter to all of your oaths, you know, it's not in keeping with what you've sworn to do.
Yeah.
And a recommendation is really hard to support when you have to go to court.
Yeah.
So.
Well, even legislation at the state level in conflict with federal law doesn't trump federal law.
Yeah, makes it difficult for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't trump it, but one of the things that that everybody's kind of been hanging on these estates that legalize it is the letter from the U.S. Attorney General in regards to, you know, we won't prosecute if you have state laws in place.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying maybe we need a state law in place rather than a recommendation from the Board of Parole. And that way you'd say, yes, we do have a state law in place.
Yeah, I think it was the recommendation was more for if we find somebody in violation and then take them to a hearing, what is the parole board going to find, you know, in terms of that hearing? And they're telling us that if we do find somebody in violation, take them to a hearing, they're going to find them as not guilty on that particular GC2 and GC10.
But again, that just undercuts the whole process, undercuts the POs that are endeavoring to obey the law, fulfill the law, and that just undercuts them.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's it.
See you next week.
See you next week. Yes.
Okay. All right. Unless there's extenuating circumstances, we'll go back to item A. Is that okay? Community development?
Yeah.
All right. Community development. Good morning.
Pat took you because she helped edit the
Okay, item A, 2A1, coming to fact and conclusion of law and decision on remand with conditions, which is Sunny Valley Sand and Gravel, and Bill of Sand. These are all connected.
Yeah.
One and two has to do with the findings, and the one is the ordinance.
Right. So the findings of facts were put together by Steve Buckle, Andreas Guest's attorney, and she submitted them, and Grace went through them, and then Raleigh's office went through them as well. So they're in that final format now, and we need to schedule them along with the public hearing for the first reading.
So has the board reviewed them and found them to be final? My opinion is that they're draft until we've signed off on them. And if we haven't had, like, that's what we thought, what we said,
they're
still in it.
You can review them here.
Yeah, I was trying to do as much as I could.
Yeah, they don't get signed until the actual hearing.
We'd have to adopt them at that hearing and then go forward with the ordinance.
Came in for the process. It's just, I haven't had a chance to review. They're significant.
Do you want a paper copy?
Would be helpful. I tried to get one in D.C. so I could read it on the plane. But the whole admin thing was 20 megs, 246 pages. It didn't email well.
Okay.
So I'll
do it. Do you want to have that in
there? Yeah.
Okay.
The fact that you've had multiple sets of eyes review them, obviously the applicant, the planning office, legal. Have you guys reviewed this?
Not yet. I have this week.
So I wonder if what we can do from a procedure standpoint is to move it forward. Unless there's an objection, we can definitely defer it. But otherwise, we're going to be getting to the point of the year where we're not going to have consistent business sessions or something. So.
Can you provide a copy today so that we have a week to...
Yeah.
Do you all want a paper copy?
Yes.
You can have one?
I prefer paper copy, but I think Keith usually uses online. But
I can either one. I mean, if I can print off pages 11 through 22 as well, if I want those pages printed off. Whatever is the easiest.
If you're
going to run off a slew.
So if we could have those today so that we would have the week to review them before next Wednesday.
When did this come in?
It was finalized about a week ago, would you say, Ben?
Yeah.
And when we set it, can we set a hearing for the conclusion?
It'll be next week.
No, I know. Did we set a hearing?
Yep.
It was set when we finalized and made the conclusion that the land use hearing?
I don't think so.
No, we set that with staff. I think it was this week we finalized the date on that.
I thought we started a previous admin, December 7th. Yeah, I think so.
One or two admins.
Oh, that can be.
So that's
going to
be fine.
And the first reading done. And it's a little bit, we haven't been doing it that way, where we do the ordinance. So we would need to have the findings run first.
Right.
And then the adoption of the ordinance.
Hearing's already been noted.
Okay. So you'll provide a copy to us today, so we can review it before the meeting next week.
Yep.
And we can move this forward. If we have issues, we can bring it up then, and then we can postpone it if necessary. That way we have a chance to review them before next week.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll have admin next week.
And then Julie will be at the meeting.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the public hearing on the first reading of the ordinance.
Well, that goes into legislative actions.
Right. The findings just have to go first. So
right.
Yeah, the findings have to go first.
First and then legislative for, so you have to have the admin.
We have to have this item 1A on the admin.
Okay.
Yeah. And then item A2 is a public hearing, which has to take place after that admin issue on the schedule. Because we have to have adopted those findings before we can go to an ordinance. Okay. Okay. Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you for taking me out last time. For acceptance of a warranty deed from the Grants Pass School District.
Yes.
All right.
Good morning, Commissioner. This is in regards to a project that Public Works did with School District 7 on West Harbeck Road, right next to South Middle School.
Sidewalks.
Yeah. There's a bus lane there that they can they can pull on there. The agreement was that they would dedicate property for right of way. So that's what this is, the acceptance of this. It took a little while to get it because it took a little while to get back from the school district.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our long-term intent is to get this back, then we can pay it all to the city when it's brought up to
correct.
City standards.
I think
still a section on the south side of the road that
right.
needs sidewalks.
Right. The whole south side doesn't have any, but this project was good because it now completes the sidewalk all the way around West Harbeck to Harbeck and down
great.
On the school side of it, which is good for the students.
And you have me just anecdotally, just having been by there several times during the school and the release and all that other stuff, it made a tremendous amount of difference.
It does. There's still a lot of traffic there.
Oh, yeah.
They got their peak times with the buses.
Yeah,
and
but generally people know where you're going now, or there is this
somewhere
set aside zone to go to.
The road.
Yeah, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, before there were sidewalks and everybody was walking every which direction.
Oh, right, and parking everywhere.
And parking everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that'll make it easier last.
Okay. We think this was a really great project with the school district. Mm-hmm. Helped them and helped us and made it safe for the kids. That was a big push.
Great.
So,
okay. We can move that one forward to admin.
Okay.
Okay, juvenile justice.
Change someone there next week.
I'm not sure that's an administrative element. I think it's part of the whole project. I don't know if you guys, I mean, I need to be there, but I don't know that you'd even need to, from my perspective, that's fairly routine. Not a change in policy.
Financial.
You want to put it on consent?
Yeah.
There's no need for you to be there. We can explain it.
Okay. It's pretty simple.
Well,
yeah.
You need to be there again. Okay.
No, we can do that.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
I don't know if it rises to that level.
Well,
it's not a change in policy. And it's not a financial.
Right. So. There was no financial.
No financial. Okay. Let's just put on consent then.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to us about it anyway.
I think the major part of that project is really the grants. And working with
the
school district and stuff, and
it went really well.
Part of
I saw James Flo out there running a compactor.
Yeah, he was out there every day.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, just put that one on consent, and whoever is there, we can talk about. Good morning, juvenile justice.
Good morning.
And how are you, Ms. Martinez?
Fantastic.
Good. All right. This is the juvenile justice provider agreement between Josephine County. And Welcome Home, Oregon.
So this is new funding that came in last fiscal year, a new service element for us. It's all peer-delivered services for people within corrections. And so all five of our providers that we're currently contracting with got together to look at what was currently happening in the community instead of creating something new. Welcome Home, Oregon is doing peer-delivered services. And our local alcohol and drug planning committee made the recommendation to provide all the funding to Welcome Home Oregon, and they will work with all five of the partners to get peer-delivered services going.
Thank you for not creating another program. Use what works. Okay.
So I don't know if I said this. So this is an amendment to the current IGA that we already have in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's $62,229. And from what I understand, it will continue into the next biennium.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any questions?
No.
Thank you. All right. And you said it was new funding, but it's an amendment to a current contract?
Yes. Okay. So it's a new service element to our county, but it's part of our IGA.
Okay. Part of the IGA. All right. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
This is going on the consent.
Yeah, I think we just put on the consent. This is part of the continuum of the IGA. So.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Extension there. Okay. Emergency services. Ms. Hall. Julie's on her way.
She probably looked at the agenda and said she wouldn't be here until 10:30.
Oh, she's not here?
No. She's here, but. Started, looked at the agenda and said, well, they won't need me until about 10:30, so we're a little early.
Okay, and we did community corrections.
Yeah, we're moving right along.
Yeah, yeah, we are. Well, until Julie, did you email her?
I did.
Okay, well, do we have any other business we need to bring up? I think she's emailed her. She'll be on her way. Any other business we need to bring up?
The board business is simple stuff. The proxy letters for the ONC annual meeting, the routine thing, unless you guys are planning on attending for the annual meeting on Friday morning. I think there's a new commissioner orientation beforehand at 9 o'clock. We have 34 new commissioners in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Quite, I think it's the most turnover, like 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. So that election will take place Friday morning. Tim Freeman is going to be the proposed president for police Tony Hyde leaving. We also have one other board member.
So his replacement?
It's Tim.
Gary Leaf. At the
Gary, yeah.
You can.
Oh, did you?
Board, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Tim had been on that.
Yeah, he's giving up.
So we have two proxy letters here.
Almost exclusively our meeting back in D.C. was interesting, probably the most interesting meeting I've ever been to in D.C. as far as, you know, the timing of stuff. It's fairly uncharted territory. It's not, the people trying to predict what's happening day by day is really, really tough. But I think in all of that, there's a lot of opportunity. The prognosis on the House side for an extension of secure rural schools is not very good.
Yeah.
It's pretty dire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been said after the last extension that if you're going to get one, it has to be part of management. Well, the House has passed 2-3 management proposals since the last extension expired, and the Senate has yet to even have an appropriate hearing by the right committee on the subject. So there was a statement from Senator Wyden that he's interested in looking at something, but he's not interested in changing the environmental laws. So in that situation, we don't need to change the environmental laws if we prevail like we think we're going to on the litigation. However, I think that the agency's petition to have the rough and ready removed as the last remaining besides us will be upheld. So it'll be just Josephine County, and I don't even know if we stand, you know, on that issue. So
that's your solid border.
Looks complicated, like all of these moving like how are you leveraging litigation? We're looking at committee appointments.
Oh, I just didn't go far enough. Sorry. Sorry.
See the BLM director.
I didn't go far enough.
Those things kind of potentially line up. Obviously.
Jenny is out.
She's right there.
She's here. She walked in.
Oh, you just came in. Okay. All right. Jenny, please come up.
Potential. So we're dusting off 1526 and those elements.
All right.
You know, taking out the things that were non-starters. But honestly, adding some other things in that we didn't even think would get through the Senate. You know, we're at 6 votes right now, and we'll have to be at 8 votes in the next year. So the CR expires December 9th. They're looking to probably, there's a window between December 16th and December 9th is when they're going to recess. And it'll just be a CR, and it'll probably, the continuing resolution will probably be very clean. So we're not going to get the energy and commerce. There's some forest stuff in a bill that's sitting out there, but even Senator Murkowski, who's ranking, she's a majority on that committee, is pessimistically optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to have to see the next Congress, but we're getting stuff ready to go.
Getting our wishes of having a legislature that is more responsive to the economy. In other words, going into the hole.
Yeah.
You know, why do we want to? Where are we going to get the support to continue going in the hole from this legislature that's saying no for all of this stuff? So.
Well, I met with the NEA, the National, we all did, National Education Association Board. The president was there, Commissioner Francisco Kemmings is there. They're going around the hill doing they had 22 visits in 2 days or something like that, on an extension of Secure Rural Schools, because it's so funny. We think we've got it, and we do. Mm-hmm. Well, it's tip of the spear, but there's a lot of schools that aren't going to be able to, you know, plow roads when it snows this year because they just don't have the funds.
Yeah.
There's a whole host of things that are in the crosshairs because the extension expired in 15, and they're on fumes as far as some of these programs, cutting parts and everything, and not even getting pink slips going out in March. So it's like potentially we're going to have to consider.
Okay. Emergency Services, D1, Emergency Management Performance Grant.
Time again to renew our annual grant that funds, used to fund 50% of my program, funds closer to 45% this year. Budgets are simply shrinking. And so legal has reviewed the agreement, and I was asking for a signature.
Are there any changes significant in regards to the renewal of the grant?
No. The work plan remains very similar to what it's been in previous years. And frankly, in doing a compare of last year's contract, it was simply figures and years that were actually changed.
Mm-hmm. All right. And
how are you making up that difference?
Out of the general fund.
Okay.
You were not able to use 2008 Title III anymore. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any Title III left.
Well, there is.
If there's still Title
III
left. There's
a lot, but it's the new Title III, not the old Title III.
Yeah, you can't use it for...
I asked Tim Freeman, I said,
very restrictive.
You want to loan us some of your old... They have $4 million of their old Title, 2008 Title III money or something like that. $8 million is a lot.
Because I manage the FireWise program, I'm eligible to use the new Title III dollars. The problem is that that then complicates my grant because it's federal dollars. And so in talking with Arthur, because there's a very small amount of dollars that are not being funded, and it's quite likely that they'll be made up for with Everbridge subscriptions from other partners, that we may actually have more revenue than even the shortfall that I have. Using those Title III dollars would complicate my reporting and the EMPG grant such that the small amounts of dollars needed would not be outweighed by the additional reporting requirements.
Yeah, so you don't have access to those dollars anyway, so it's not.
Yeah, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
Okay, Wild and Fire Associates contract.
You should have
an amendment.
It's an amendment, yes. Mm-hmm. And when I brought the contract before you originally, one of the items in that contract scope of work was to update the scope of work partway through the process. And so it was expected that there would be an amendment to the contract once they reviewed all of our documents. You have a redline version of the contract as well as one prepared for signature. The substantial changes to the scope of work are the melding of the two county fire plans into one master document and the extending of the timeline through May 1st of 2017. It was originally the end of March.
So this is actually going along pretty well. Our meeting initial with them and Jackson County did attend, even if at that point I don't know that they were formally, you know, partners in this 100%. So they are now. My question is that if we were paying X for a plan before that was just us, that's how it was proposed, right? Mm-hmm. What is the adjustment? Is there an adjustment, or are they? Is Jackson County? What is Jackson County putting into this fiscally, so that we're balanced in that perspective? That we're not just paying for what, you know, they could have. I mean, theoretically, they could have came in at almost, you know, the ninth hour and said, "Oh, we're partners now, and you really don't have to do that much to change it to make it two counties. You know, just hit copy or print twice. Not exactly, but almost." And so, I kind of feel as though there should be a reduction in our need for debating on this. It's fun. I mean, we have plenty of title. Two Title III dollars to fund this, and it's, you know, an approved program, but it's like those fiscal numbers kind of, what's the new budget for this?
The budget hasn't changed. However, going forward, we're looking at 50-50 with Jackson County. So one of the things that we didn't build into the original grant was a tour with Wildland Fire Associates coming out, viewing our county, viewing Jackson County as well. So what we will ultimately end up with is an additional visit by their staff to do the presentation of the plan to you guys without an additional charge in the contract, because Jackson County is now contributing dollars that weren't originally built into the contract.
So say that again. We had never expected, the original contract didn't include them and their staff coming out and doing the two-day tour like we did.
Right. Now, we only paid for one day of that, the day that they were in Josephine County.
Right.
However, we believed going forward that Jackson County would be coming on board.
Right.
It was simply a timing issue. And so they were pretty confident in coming out, incurring those travel expenses.
Well, I think that was really, you know, bang for the buck and invaluable. Mm-hmm. That the conversations that happened on the ground with the timber operators that were salvaging mm-hmm. after fires and stuff, it was really pretty timely. And I think I want to put everything, so the last time we kind of said, now go forth and do good work, and we're not holding your hand and just expecting the best. This time I want to be, you know, at the table doing everything and anything to say, no, this is what our plan. Senator Murkowski's office was telling us that if you reread the Healthy Forest Restoration Act and in total, it gives you the latitude to try to require the federal agencies to do all this forest management, roadside hazard tree removal after a thing. And she's saying most of these counties, almost all of them, have not taken advantage of HFRA. And for good reason, because what has it ever done for us in the past? Well, now we have an administration that may be receptive to that, but we don't have a plan ready. So I like the idea that we're getting it done in May. Stuff's going to take a while to shake out, but that we can go to these federal agencies and say, you need to do fire tree hazard removal, and in a timely fashion. They were talking about in the Silver Creek fire, Tim was, there's 100 miles, I don't know, there's tons of miles of roads up there, and you can get a category, you don't even need a category exclusion. You can do one tree length on the downhill slope and a tree and a half length on the uphill slope and take out large timber that's going to become a hazard in 4 years when it rots and it starts mm-hmm. falling on the thing. And so instead of having to pay somebody 4 years later to go and remove all those trees, why don't you put out a contract for that issue, have that those trees removed along the roadside and replanted, and then, you know, that's the way, you know, federal bureaucracy would manage it, to where it costs money, and then the way it should be done is to where we would receive ONC, if it were on Matrix and ONC lands, you receive, you know, 50% of that revenue and stuff. And it's just getting that delineated down to where it's safety and that sort of thing, access on paper. I think it's going to be really positive. But if we don't have it on paper, how can they say, you know, what you didn't, you know, I don't know that that's your priority. It's not written down anywhere.
No.
I think there's a lot of, we've been working on this for long enough that it's like, just get it done, but get it done right.
Yeah.
So I think this is good.
Okay, we can put item D1 and D2 on consent calendar because one is a renewal and one is an amendment. Okay, item D3. Everybody's had a copy of fire standards for quite some time. And now we have on here the copy of the committee. Whoops.
So we had a conversation about this a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and you were here, Commissioner Walker.
So,
we're revisiting this?
We're wanting to move it forward. So we had to bring it back on so that we could. And then the scope of work on this Exhibit A for the committee, if there's any further questions.
I was not in favor, and so have you and Commissioner Heck had a conversation that you want to move this forward and establish this?
Well, that's why we brought it on today, is so okay. We can have that conversation, because when I reviewed the, you gave me a hard copy, it's been 2 months now since I had the hard copy, and I didn't have any further comments on it, so, and did you have any further comment? Okay. How many years in the making?
longer than I've been alive.
Yeah.
And I'm not being facetious. This issue has been around since the early 1970s.
But I think, now that, and I know Commissioner Heck was working with the group, I think that was a couple of years ago when he started working with a group to get the committee in place. And so I think that it's time to move and get this done. I know the folks in the fire community have been very diligent in trying to get agreement among the parties. And unless you say otherwise, I think that's been achieved. I think that they've managed to come together with the fire standards issue.
Yes.
And agree as to what those elemental, the very basic fire standards would be, so that the public can say, if I hire a company, I know they will meet these requirements.
Yes.
And that was our goal, to get to that point. And so I think we can move the fire standards. Commissioner Heck, any questions or comments?
Because the Rogue Valley Fire Chiefs Association, that is the overseeing group of everybody as a partner, and everybody that was involved in it, from our districts to the two independent fire districts, fire departments,
mm-hmm.
all were part of that, mm-hmm. all supported it, all agreed to it, and I just think this is like, okay, fine, thank you very much, guys, you've done a great job.
Almost anticlimactic.
I think it's important to note that three of the items which were pointed out, the consensus that was arrived at by the group was that it was the county's responsibility or within the county's purview to make decisions on those three items.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't something that the committee actually made a recommendation as to, mm-hmm. the background checking, the insurance standards. We did provide a template for the standards of cover document, but really felt like it would be this committee's task to be able to come up with something, mm-hmm. that would work for those departments.
Okay.
So as I hear, there's three fairly significant policy hurdles that this, and you, Commissioner Heck, said everybody who is involved in this is part of the Rogue Fire Chiefs Association. Did you say that?
No, I said that every department, every district in Josephine County and the two
and
independent fire departments were all part of this decision.
Right.
And then the Fire Chiefs Association was also part of the process of the discussion, and they are supporting the moving this forward.
All of the parties are actually members of the Fire Chiefs Association
now.
As well.
Now,
including both of the private fire service providers.
In the beginning, that wasn't the case.
Right.
Now, because they've worked together on this, come together on the standards, they're now all on the same page.
So do we have a proposed answer to those three policy questions? What are they? They're the background check, the insurance level, and
the standards of cover document. So the standards of cover document is essentially the information that would be provided to the public so that the public could make an apples-to-apples comparison. The last time we met, what we had discussed as far as the solutions to the first two issues was using the county's already established background checking policy. And I believe we were deferring to county legal counsel on the insurance requirements. Depending on what services are being performed, such as public works is a really good example.
It's a combination of HR, finance, and legal that set that mm-hmm. minimum. And there is a standard of $1 million, but it's not that for everything.
Exactly.
The Dimmick campus tower demolition, that was in excess of that. I think these are good things, and we could probably move it through. I just want to have those discussions, because if we're going to set those policies, and there's, you know, maybe there needs to be an escalation clause or something like that, or a certain ISO rating that requires an insurance level. I don't think it's as simple as just saying, well, it needs to be $1 million. Or it needs to be two.
Well, I think that's what this committee can help with too. This.
I thought that was what they were recommending us to decide, those three elements, and then mm-hmm. we establish the committee and go forth and do the tasks that were outlined. Mm-hmm. If I read that incorrectly, I may have, but I don't think so.
The insurance task was delegated to the board, mm-hmm. not to the committee.
Right.
However,
but I think that's really important, because
over time, things change. You know, insurance requirements may change. So if that's something that is hard and fast in a document and conditions change, that would be very difficult because you may have to have a requirement of $1 million at one point, but then you say, no, we need to increase that to $2 million. Well, you've got it set in here at $1 million, and the requirements change or the necessity of changing it. You don't have to go back and change the whole fire standards. And that's true of anything, I mean, whether it's background checks or insurance. So
the committee was confident that there was enough precedent out there with other special districts setting insurance requirements that the departments within this county would easily be able to come up with something that was reasonable.
Within the county, I mean, we are insured to a certain rate, and then we have an additional insurance provider for catastrophic insurance. So, I mean, there's different levels. If you had a weed situation or something, I don't think that, you know, they were found negligent. Your first initial insurance coverage is not covering that. Is there a responsibility of either districts or private carriers to care? I just think that there could be a longer conversation about this before we just assign, just go forth and do this, assign a number of $1 million, just do background checks based on the county's policy. And the third one again?
The standards of cover documents.
That sounds
however, that was more challenging. That was something, the recommendation was that that would be delegated to the committee, not to this board.
Okay.
And that committee would bring something back to the board that was agreed upon.
So are you looking to just establish this and put out for advertising?
To establish the fire standards, approve the fire standards, and then as written, as we receive them, because I didn't see any changes when I read them. It's been 2 months, I think, since we've had them. I don't see any necessity for any change in there, and everybody's on board. I think we need to adopt the minimum standards as proposed by that committee that we have read and reviewed, and then in the future.
So we just have those two elements to hash out before.
No. Are something you can adopt the standards as they are written. Simply say that Josephine County will establish those two requirements. So you can adopt the standards as is. You can adopt the formation of the committee as it is and move forward.
We can adopt those, and then the board can set, I guess, in the future.
We advertise, we establish the committee adopting the standards, and we start advertising for those positions.
For members of the committee.
There's a couple at large.
Yeah, there are two at large positions, yes.
Yes, two at large, general public who live in the unprotected areas. It's on page 210. And it's an 8-member board for voting members. And then non-voting members, one member representing the Emergency Management Service and one member representing each private fire service provider. Those are non-voting members.
So an 8-member board.
Eight-member voting board, and then two non-voting members as advisory.
I haven't reviewed this recently. Is there a clause that says that you have to have greater than a simple majority? Because nobody establishes a board with an even number if a simple majority is all that was required. It's fine if it's a, you know, significant majority of, you know what I mean? It seems like you either remove one or you add one to have it a non, like the city. There's 8 councilors, there's a mayor. Mayor breaks up ties. Who breaks up ties? Or does a simple majority vote on a recommendation not necessary?
Well, if you operate under Robert's Rules of Order, a simple majority would be what it would.
Well, Robert's Rules has issues for a 2/3 majority all the time. 2/3 is required for ending debate on an amendment, I think. You have to have 2/3 of the group that says, no, debate is over. I don't want to debate anymore. Let's go to a vote on the amendment. So
I can't find it right now.
I just think that that's something that we could easily solve by adding a person, right?
I can't find it.
Why set it up for stagnation? And I mean, that's a simple thing.
Would you consider adding a clause instead of adding a person?
adding a
clause regarding the requirement of a 5 out of 8 vote or to make a quorum. The challenge is that typically we would have had EMS, Emergency Medical Services, as a voting member, but they are a private entity as well. Mm. And so it did not seem appropriate to have a private entity as a voting member.
Well, maybe there's a commissioner on there.
I would say absolutely not.
Not.
Yeah. Here's another example.
Well, then let's just add the clause, and let's just add the clause that it has to be 5 of 8 to make the decision.
Do we need an order to establish this committee?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
We won't need an order. And but we could simply do that. We can here we put membership and non-voting members, and then right in the next right below that say that it would require 5 of 8 members for a decision.
I think the meeting that Commissioner Heck and I had without you, Commissioner Walker, I was under the impression that I just didn't like to see this board making obviously fairly large policy decisions before the next board had an opportunity to evaluate them. You're right, this thing has been going on for quite some time.
Before you ever know. Yeah. So I think it's been pretty well discussed.
Well, if it were an easy, non-controversial issue, then it would have been done already. I'm at a point where I'm not needing to be convinced that this board can move it forward. I just think that maybe we should take that opportunity to have a quorum of this board, have a general discussion on these elements, review it. I didn't review it with the intent to move it forward, to be perfectly honest. I can do that and come to this meeting and have that, you know, that element of 5 out of 8 maybe makes perfect sense as the solution. But I don't know what else I didn't see, because I wasn't evaluating it to move forward. And if there's that, there's potential for something else. That's not a rocket science type of a thing. We do not have a board, committee, anything at the county that has an even number. We just don't. And we've never established one. And I don't want to start now with something that's obviously not, it could be controversial. The issues that they're going to deal with are not going to be always simple. So let's not set them up for more stagnation. That's just as an example. I'm in all next week. Other than the first 2 days. Yeah, I was just wondering if the board is receptive to that idea.
Commissioner Hicks? Any comments? We could do one of two things. We could add a member. It says one member representing the county, and there's the Oregon Department of Forestry, Oregon State Fire Marshal, two members of the general public, one law enforcement, and we could put an additional person on the board, or we could put the paragraph in that requires 5 of 8 for any action of the board being a majority.
Does this group have discussed that whole issue?
This group did not discuss the committee makeup.
Okay.
Who did?
Commissioner Heck and I discussed the committee makeup, and I solicited input from fire chiefs.
I want to understand a whole lot more about how this got to a conclusion, because I'm under the impression from the original statements that what we're receiving as a product has been evaluated and approved by that group. That group didn't approve the committee makeup?
No, nor were they asked to. That was not an assignment from this board. I'm not sure that committee would accept that assignment, respectfully.
No, I'm not asking that it should, but it was conveyed to me, my impression, if I walked out of here and said, this product is completely endorsed and reviewed by this committee, the Rogue Fire Chiefs Association. But I'm just finding that the makeup, which is a fairly substantial element of establishing a committee, I think, hadn't been reviewed and endorsed by them. So I'm not putting you on the spot here, but just through this conversation, my impression is different than if I were to go do an interview with somebody right up there in the hallway. And then that makes me want to think, I need to walk through this. Like I'm expecting to move it forward and have those kinds of conversations about how did it get proposed. So it isn't some sort of like divined, everybody approved committee makeup. It sounds like, how come emergency services isn't having that discussion with more than just two people in a room, the policy body who's going to make it up and defend it in the future? That's important to me, that I can do that. And I can't do that right now.
Okay, so let's break it up and say the fire standards, which was the recommendations of the Rogue Valley Fire Chiefs Working Group, the standard recommendations, let's move on that one.
To approve the fire standards, because
sure,
we've had those for weeks and months.
And that's what they have specifically been working on for 2 years' time.
Right. We can do that portion, and in the committee, we can defer that until such time as this can be reviewed, and to make it an odd number board, or adopt the recommendation.
We keep coming back to the number of board members. That is only an illustration of it having not gone through a thorough and valid evaluation, in my mind.
Okay, so now we're trying to get to the solution. So,
so don't worry about the number. The whole process needs to be refined.
I apologize. I think I'm confused. At the last meeting that we had, Commissioner Heck and I were specifically delegated to produce that product for the three of you to review.
Yeah.
If there is a different process, then I need to know what process you would like followed.
No, that's fine. That's what we're doing now. We're reviewing that. But the meeting that was set up to review it, my intuition while walking into that was that I don't really have to, because I don't feel that this board should be establishing something of a policy. The next board should do that. Great, great product, move it forward. I'm less opposed to the idea that this is something that's been in the queue for a while. I think it's reached a point that is it's not a climax, it's not controversial. So moving those elements forward as they've been refined, and that discussion just hasn't happened. So what I was proposing is we step back as a full board, have that conversation, but having evaluated it for moving it forward before. And that's all that I'm suggesting, is we do what we originally intended. I'm less hesitant about doing something. I don't feel like it's setting up some sort of a mass precedent change of policy so dramatic that this board shouldn't do it. I'm comfortable with it now.
Well, I don't think it's all so dramatic. I think we have form here. I think that we can go ahead, move the fire standards, the two that we're charged with putting this together. You can meet with the emergency folks that were involved, the fire people, and ask them about this.
No,
you asked for their input already. If you want to do it that way,
structure. As was mentioned, Jenny mentioned, this board, all three, commanded by sense of saying this is what we want you to do, the two of us to come up with the result that we came up with as far as this
the recommendations
for it. So I'm not quite sure what the recommendation to say 5 out of 8 or a majority. Okay, I mean, let's make a decision on that one. I'm not sure what is going back and having to do all over whatever.
I don't need to be any more clear than I am.
Well, you need to be more clear for me, because I don't understand. You were clear to delegate the two of us to develop this thing.
Frankly,
it was developed.
It was completely, if there's an element of establishing a committee and you do it as an even person board, what other things are missing? My trust in the idea that there isn't an even committee anywhere that's supposed to be in charge of controversial elements.
So where are we at on the
We're trying to resolve that right now. What do you recommend to go to?
That's the problem.
Nine.
You're not listening to me. I'm just using
what
that.
What do you mean not listening to you, Simon?
You're not.
You've made it clear you don't like an eight-member board.
I'm just using that as an example. Move that aside. Forget about that. That's just as an example of something that I think is fairly substantial that probably wasn't evaluated to the degree of thoroughness that I think is necessary. And so I haven't evaluated the other things. If you're telling me to address this, what's the point of addressing that, which I don't know what else might not be adequate?
Well, if you haven't been following it for the last 4 years as to what we've been doing with this,
I'm not
then I don't know where that
been
is.
Done for 4 years. The committee hasn't been done that long.
Well, the
and
point is,
they
we have
evaluated to the degree I thought.
The point is this board asked these
forward.
Two people to come up with a committee structure.
Yeah, and I don't think it was.
It is here today for discussion. Mm-hmm. We're not going to sit here and say we have a bad product simply because you don't agree with an eight-member board. Let's do something about resolving an eight-member board. Who do we add to the board?
That doesn't necessarily make it a good product, fixing that element.
Would it be more appropriate to put that piece back on a Tuesday agenda so that
That's
we can...
put that point on, we'll go ahead with the fire standards. Would you provide a copy of the fire standards to her and Beth to adopt the fire standards? We will do that portion, and then we will work on the committee.
Yes.
Correct? Commissioner Harris?
On Tuesday?
I think I said that 10 minutes ago.
Well, I'm not keeping track. I'm trying to come to a conclusion.
Some of us have other things to do.
I know. Life is so complex.
It really isn't.
You're right. So let's try to solve this thing first. So are we Tuesday? Are we coming a Tuesday?
Tuesday is the general discussion.
Okay.
I'm not here on you.
Well, can you have the plan and make whatever comments that you feel necessary to make? And
sure, I think I can do that.
Okay.
So you guys can move forward. I'll review the committee makeup.
Okay.
And make a recommendation.
So the job discussion is canceled on Tuesday. Is that because we don't have a quorum or what?
We don't have a full board.
I'm here.
You guys can have it, and I'll make my recommendation.
Are you here Tuesday, Keith?
Settle that.
Okay, so we do have a quorum for Tuesday, December 6th at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And you can write your comments and submit them to Terry for the packet. And in the meantime, the fire standards themselves, submit that to her to get that set up to go on Wednesday.
The fire standards the appropriate format to move forward?
Yes.
I don't know what it does.
Yeah, she'll get that to you. She'll get it to you.
I've submitted it. So it's what's in your packet.
That's
form.
That's not what needs to be done to put it into an order.
Yeah,
legal's going to have to do that.
Yeah, and we need that put into an order. So she's going to need
this,
the standards. This
I don't know about.
So I will work with legal
typically,
to put that into
typically an order. Like legal. Then it may not be able to go forward. I mean, typically an order would be legal would brief to the board, adopting fire standards for the county, and typically you'd establish the committee at the same time. But let's just do the standards if that's something that this board wants to move forward for. But, you know, this is kind of a last minute thing that was put on here after a decision to not move forward. I'm fine with it, but we have to go through the right process.
Last minute, it's been on the agenda. So what do you need in my plan?
I don't know what legal need to make this.
You will work with them.
I will work with them.
Because we would need it by Monday to put it on the agenda.
Because
we'd have to all have it put together.
Well, not by Monday, you mean by tomorrow morning.
By tomorrow,
yeah.
Sorry. Friday, not Monday.
Good.
On that?
Yes, I will work on that.
Okay. And see about legal doing that.
Yes, I will do that.
All right. And then you will write your recommendations on the committee.
Absolutely.
So that we can discuss those next Tuesday.
Yep.
And can you be here Tuesday?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Good. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. And... did we have a proxy? Oh, I don't have a blue pen to sign a proxy. Thank you.
So will that go under admin?
Yes.
Or WBS?
Yes.
And the general attend WBS?
Yes.
So one of the things, because I won't be here to help with the agenda, is the idea that you're going to need to do the administrative calendar and approve the findings, so you're going to have to take public comment, and then the legislative hearing on the findings of fact and opening that up will probably take place after
admin.
After admin, public comment, before consent. That's how I would structure it.
After both.
You have to have public comment and you have to approve the findings, right?
Right.
So you do those together, and then you'll have a hearing on setting the first reading.
Legislative.
Yes. But that's how I would do it.
Okay.
Procedurally, that will make it go. And so you have comments on the legislative hearing just on the second, just on the ordinance.
Right, right.
And that'll flow, everything will just, and then you can do consent. That's how I would do that.
And I need a decision in the meeting on the proxies.
You do?
Will you discuss something?
I thought we did.
Said yes.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll move to be signed the proxies for the
AOC. AOC annual meeting December 2nd.
OOC, yeah, annual meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Sorry, I thought we had done that. I apologize. Okay. The last item, 5B, the 2016-17 Board of Commissioner goals. That's page 246 in your packet, large packet today. Okay. We set these goals early last year, and I couldn't find my copy. I was going through and checking off things as we went through and who was responsible for what, and I couldn't find it because I've been cleaning out my office. I couldn't find my notes, but I think that we have addressed the majority of these things, actually, and I just wanted to know, in regards to these goals, if there was anything that any of you wish to comment on those. I know some of these will have to carry forward because, as is with all government processes, some things don't get done due to time constraints, but or legal constraints. And I wanted to give you that opportunity well before the end of this year.
Well, as you review them, or as one reviews them, or as I review them, you realize that some of these things a year ago were like pretty massive goals. I mean, it's easy to say identify and prioritize property to sell. It's easy to say that. But poor old Mike is the implementer of that.
And I think that they were identified and they have been pretty well prioritized.
Yep, absolutely.
And we've actually had to say it.
Yep.
So I think that is it's one of those that we achieved that portion of
the
it,
large,
but now the next
the
board
goal.
Will have to carry forward with the continuing of the selling of property. The Dimmick property redevelopment, that's one of those I was addressing in regards to when you're talking about long-term processes, whether it's government or legal or whatever. And, of course, the market factors that come into place. It's been something we've continuously worked on.
Well, and a major element of that is relocating the offices that are on
that
footprint.
Are there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten the grant to remediate the rest of the footprint and to make it more marketable because we understand that, you know, every unknown on that property is going to be a challenge to redevelopment. So, you know, those things take time. Mm-hmm. We signed that IGA today, the letter of intent or whatever. Is a step in the right direction, so it just takes forever.
Yeah, the goal of hiring a new community development planning director was there, and I don't think any of us could really appreciate the success with which that has been accomplished with the one that we have.
Right.
Done
and the North
stuff.
Valley Industrial Park,
yep.
The completion of the phase two, we extended that phase to include the airport, which is probably going to be completed within the next 30 days or so. It'll be the next board that will get that final report. And at that point was when we determined that once we had that, we would secure a project manager to go forward with the financing. So that will be a next board project or goal, hopefully. And then the implementation of the Economic Dispute Strategic Plan in conjunction with the city and establish the Economic Development Task Force. That is all in process and probably be approved by the next board within the first quarter of next year. Forestry plan based on the inventory, I think that's pretty well underway.
With a high quality new forester.
The new forest manager. And the marijuana issues, I don't care what goals we would have had on this. It's a moving target. But we did get the November ballot for the measure for the 3% tax. And that particular measure determined the use of revenue from the recreational sales on our 3%. Because we still are not receiving and have no idea what we're going to be getting. My telephone call to the state OLCC said that they likely would not see any recreational revenue until the end of 2017, so that is still something we're not even knowing how much we're going to receive. And the laws are probably going to be changing, and the formula will likely be changing.
You think?
So, yes, I've seen the LC on that. It's going to be changing. Efficiency improvements, public health, plan of relocation. Well, we just approved the going forward with the letter of commitment in regards to the development for relocation. Continue to prioritize and implement technology. We have done a lot of that this year, thanks to our IT department, and we also have the VoIP system in place. Performance review, public works, that is in process. And will be a project of the next board, I'm sure, because that's in process. The codification project, we understand that was to be completed by the end of this year.
Still is.
Still is supposed to be completed by the end of 2016. So, research best practices as used by other counties to help Josephine County. Have you done anything on that?
AOC is looking to.
AOC is looking into that. Okay, thank you. Oops, I keep touching
that. That was Bill, one of Bill Hall's things that he's going to take up.
Transparency of county and public involvement, prepare a more understandable budget document. I think that our budget department has really worked on trying to simplify the presentations for budget understanding. I think what makes it difficult for a lot of people in the public is that public finance is so different from business and personal finance that makes it really hard for people to understand. But I know that Arthur has tried to streamline that. Mm-hmm. And implement town hall meetings countywide. We have had several town hall meetings, typically topic specific, but we never implemented any on general types of issues. But we did have a lot of them last year in regards to specifically marijuana, and of course we have those quarterly in Cape Junction. Unfortunately, they're not well attended, and I don't know why that is.
I asked Commissioner Freeman, they did, I don't want to say 100, but it seemed, he said the number was very substantial. They have a lot more rural communities in their county, and their county's huge. I don't know if people are apathetic or they just don't know that their voice is going to get heard, but they stay home up there as well.
Yeah, it seems to be, people...
Joko specific.
I think people in general, who heard this dog and pony show, whatever, in their minds, it's not...
So regardless of what our efforts are, they just did not seem to be...
Well, that was something I was discussing with the legislative director at NACO about how you engage with people in a different way that they're receptive to. So they don't want to leave their couch. They don't want to have to schedule an afternoon or something like that, an evening. Mm-hmm. You have to get in to their home, but then everybody's trying to inundate them from every direction. And we threw a couple of ideas around. I came up with a couple of ideas that I think might be nationally implementable that would... take our issues to people's homes in a way that they wouldn't want to. They're going to spend some time thinking about it, focusing on it. So.
Well, this is one thing that I've been thinking about, and of course, I wouldn't be able to implement it. Is that we schedule town hall meetings and open it up for people to come, and they typically don't. We don't have good turnouts. But perhaps if we engage an organization and say, you schedule the town hall at your location, your convenience. And that way they host them.
Yep.
You know, maybe the Arts Guild or maybe the Citizens Neighborhood Watch mm-hmm. Community or have them schedule and be the host, and then they would at least get probably their neighbors. That turnout in somebody's living room of 12 people would probably be better than us trying to schedule a town hall. So that may be the approach that we're going to have to take, because
or we could,
I've had people call and say, well, you haven't had a town hall, and this happened. It was just a week after we had one in Cape Junction. Well, you haven't had a town hall. I said, yeah, we did, but you know, we had three people.
Or we could ask for ideas of input from the courts
mm-hmm.
to what could motivate people to attend.
Maybe you would host one.
You bring the beer and
pick. Yeah. Well, honestly, a little bit of something like that goes a long
oh,
way.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, I'm kind of copying
how that looks, but it's the right thing. I mean, there's no other. I don't think there's anything
I
else to get people there.
Well, we can't. We can't go wrong trying.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do or different.
Yeah, approach. People would say, "What are you doing, spending public dollars to you know, put out the?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was kind of thinking about that in the context of a lot of election campaigns. You know, they have the coffee meetings in people's home where they host it, and I'm going, why don't we do that? Since we aren't being very successful at holding town halls and having people come to our meeting,
yeah, they don't
if
want
they
to
were
that.
Hosting them, if they had one of their neighbors or friends, whatever, or their organization, whatever it might be, hosting it, then we go, and they're responsible for having the guests come in. So whether it's 10 or 12 or 15 people, that's better than what we have show up at most of our town halls.
What they were also saying in D.C. was that if that's integrated into your PR strategy, and you got to have one, she said, and that's one element, but that's not everything. That doesn't achieve mm-hmm. everything. And one of the things she said for having a PR strategy is if we each individually went out and did that, we need to be able to present in the same message, you know, that we're working with the
mm-hmm.
same talking points, so that we're not, oh, that's not what someone
yeah.
said at my house,
yeah.
you know, and so you've
mm-hmm.
got that message going out there, and you're actually doing good as opposed to putting,
mm-hmm.
but it's got to be part of the full-on strategy. What I went out there to check was Dan came in and weren't sure whether or not he was going to attend the ONC meeting Friday morning. This board has always endorsed the idea of paying for commissioners to attend the AOC meeting, but I don't know that we've ever paid for newly elected to attend the ONC. There is a new ONC orientation Friday morning. I think it's at 8 or 9?
9:15.
Is it this week or next?
It's Friday
tomorrow.
The 2nd, that's right.
Tomorrow.
That's
so,
right, we just signed it.
I think you're trying to go or you can't go?
I'm trying to go. I was trying to convince Dan to drive with me tomorrow morning because it's just a lot before you take office, of being out of the office kind of thing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, one thing I told Rocky, because we're looking at rescheduling those things to where we're going to have probably next year, the annual meeting start in January.
Oh, that'd be good.
So the people are legitimately in, and because we're having elections right now of commissioners who are not there, so that they don't lose a spot on the board, and there really isn't anybody. Curry County, Boyce is a new one, cousins of the other Boyce, and we're electing David Brock Smith, even though he's state rep, to the ONC board, so that Curry County has a position on the ONC board.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is wrong. I mean, we should elect the right person. There's something wrong here. We've got to figure it out to where we don't have to be doing these shell games. So I wouldn't kill yourself to try to get there.
I could be used here.
There's going to be a lot of opportunities to engage with ONC. Needing a transition.
Yeah.
Am I going to be here for
right.
much longer?
Right.
Somebody's got to pick this stuff up,
yeah.
Or we're going to just be starting kind of from scratch again. So there'll be... You sound like you have a little bit of a cold.
Yesterday was my first day in this week.
So I would pace yourself.
You already had your vacation then.
That's right.
You
started Thanksgiving Day.
You need to come to
the office.
Thank you to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was a question as to whether or not we were willing to spend money. I can't do that on my own. But if you're, I think you're okay.
All right, I'll email Rocky and let him know. I just didn't want to disrespect. It's an important topic.
It is.
And for them to have a new commission orientation, but that's our question, is why don't they wait till we're actually in office?
Right.
Mm-hmm. We didn't exactly coordinate for it.
Yeah.
Well, we will. I think that's a great idea. I'm planning with Tim Freeman a board retreat once the new board is elected, mm-hmm. takes office and all that stuff. We need to sit down and figure out, you know, a long-term strategy on these things to where we know what we're doing, who's working for us, or why they're there and all that.
All seen from the same page.
Yep.
And number 8, public relations, the courthouse centennial, thanks to the Chamber of Commerce and Julie Schmelzer and all of her staff. We had a courthouse centennial in October. And explore the establishment of a public relations committee. We've had fits and starts trying to do something about public relations. It's one of those things where we know we need it, but getting the time and the right person and everything, it's not been easy.
No.
Evaluate and implement strategies for improved relationships with other agencies to better serve the public. I think that's kind of been an ongoing thing. I know we've been having quarterly meetings with...
well, the big one was the Forest Service and BLM.
Forest Service and BLM, yeah. I was trying to Forest Service and BLM. And we're due for one, actually.
It really is dependent on the district managers that they have. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here. Mm-hmm. We're receptive. It's just a matter of whether or not they're willing to make the trek and stuff. And I think that's going to be a focus of the new administration, that they're connecting with the mm-hmm. local populations better, federal agencies.
So I think in reviewing this list that we've done a really good job at meeting those goals for the year.
Yeah.
And I think we've addressed every single one, but we had limited results on some, had very much success on others, mm-hmm. but I think it was a good year. So...
Wendy and I have been talking about that PODIO program.
It's a
goal task tracking program, so that when we have a conversation, I know that's been a big issue with Commissioner Heck, is the idea that, you know, what we talk in here
about
you're going to do X, Y, and Z, and then there's not necessarily, not that it didn't get done, but
there's
no follow-up to say, it did happen, or why didn't it happen?
Yeah.
And I think that's... looked at it a little bit, and she's tried it with a couple of like pilot types of tasks and projects and stuff. And but I think that's really important
mm-hmm.
for us to do a more comprehensive, and you can keep track of everything sure. that's accomplished. You know, you don't have to have a piece of paper on your desk. It's a chart and a program that we all have access to, that we can say, yeah, this is what's going, and I need this topic brought up at the next general discussion or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It could move us along much, much better.
Well, I kept mine in a folder on my desk, and the other day I was cleaning out my office, and I've obviously put it somewhere, because I obviously did not throw it away, but I put it in another location and cannot find it, because what I would
secure,
do is...
For a secure location.
Very secure position. But I would take it out about once a month and go through it and see where we were. And I had put on that particular copy I had on there, who had accepted the, you know, the responsibility for different ones, and then I kept track on the other side of what I was doing, and that's what I went and looked for. But anyway, I think that overall that it's been a very good year as far as meeting our goals. And I know I think you said it was, they were pretty daunting when we first wrote all of these down at the beginning of last mm-hmm. year, but the beginning of this year in 2016, but we've done a really good job, I think, of addressing all of the areas mm-hmm. and achieving most of these. So that's good.
I agree.
Okay. Did I miss anything on here? Any other business or matters and questions? Okay. 10:38. We are adjourned.